All right. How goes it?
It goes well. How are you?
I'm good. A little tired, but I'm good.
Yeah. So you ready to do this?
I'm ready. I'm ready.
Let's start the show. Welcome to the Violet Hour podcast. I'm Nicole.
And I'm Dennis.
And this is a podcast that deals with the mysterious
and the mundane.
Glad you're here. Thanks for listening. Okay, so tonight we're going to talk about diamonds, or one very specific diamond that has been fascinating people for centuries, 400 to be exact, and that is what is known today as the Hope Diamond. And you might remember it or something like it from the movie Titanic. And I think if this had this diamond been on the Titanic, it would have sunk for sure. Because it's brought some bad luck to some of its owners.
You mean to tell me that it wasn't on the Titanic when it sunk?
No, it wasn't. That was just like dramatized.
I actually do have a story behind the Titanic and why it sunk.
Let me hear it.
Yeah. So I listened to, there's another guy that I watch on YouTube. His name is Mr. Ballen, Mr. Ballen. And this was like a couple months ago. He talked about that there was a guy that was supposed to be on the Titanic, and somehow he got caught off the boat. I can't remember the specific episode and show that he had, but that guy had the keys for that. So it was kind of creepy. It was kind of weird.
He had the keys for what?
It was something like for like a, like, I guess the ship has some kind of special lights or something, but I can't remember.
Oh, like lights that would have prevented them from from hitting ice?
Maybe. I don't know.
Random.
But yeah, it's random. I know. It has nothing to do with the Hope Diamond, okay. But sorry.
No, that's okay.
I might have to.
I'll
bring it up. But it was very interesting.
So, I mean, I think most people know what the Hope Diamond is. If you don't, you can go see it. It's like at the Smithsonian in Washington, D.C., this Natural History Museum at the Smithsonian. But anyway, it is a diamond that is a beautiful blue color. It's 45 carats, and it's about the size of a walnut today. But whether or not you believe in curses, the Hope Diamond has a long and storied history that can definitely maybe convince you that perhaps it is true. So this jewel is believed to have originated in India, probably from the Kalur mine in Golconda, sometime during the 1600s. In 1630, a French gem merchant named Jean-Baptiste Tavernier began making a series of voyages from France to India to trade in the precious stones. Like, that was his deal. And so anyway, he comes back to France, and sometime between like 1667, he has obtained a 115 carat blue diamond. And that's like about the size of your fist, babe. So like a man's fist would be 115 carats. So it's a huge stone, and it was somewhat triangular in shape, and it was crudely cut and described by Tavernier as having a beautiful blue-violet color. So Tavernier documented his travels and the gems he collected, like, pretty good. But he did not say where he got this gem from. And in his book called The Unexplained, author Carl Schuker relates the origin of this Jeopardist gem, saying that it was essentially taken from a Hindu temple, and it was plucked from like a statue's like eye, or you know, one of their eyes or something. And so the priest who did this was like cursed, and you know, he basically died an agonizing death. But like, we don't know if that's true or not. But doesn't this sound like an Indiana Jones movie? Like, it's like straight out of like the Temple of Doom or whatever.
Like, yeah, but in the Indiana Jones movie, he was not cursed for finding treasure.
Indiana wasn't, but like all the people like that were stealing the curses.
Oh yeah,
Like not stealing the curses, stealing the stuff, right?
Well, I mean, the story with the Hope Diamond goes that is based on your intention, like how what your intentions are.
Right, like Indiana always had good intentions.
Exactly. So yeah.
Moral of the story: do good people. So anyway, like we don't know if it's true. I mean, it could be, right? But the diamond finally made its way to Europe and debuted in 1642 when Tavernier sold it to King Louis XIV. And yes, that is the Sun King. So in his book, The Unexplained, Tucker said that Tavernier was mauled by a pack of wild dogs. But I don't think that's true because other reports say that he went on after he sold all these jewels and he bought a nice house and lived in a long and prosperous life to old age. So we're going to like believe that story. But the curse, according to this legend, it follows the owner or anyone who comes in contact with the diamond. And so King Louis XIV, like, you know, he bought this diamond and he had his court jeweler, Jean Pitou, recut it to a smaller size. So it became 69 carats, which is basically the size of a pigeon's egg, I guess, according to my research. But it's still like, and it was triangular in shape, so it really caught all the light, and it was beautiful. And he would wear it in a ribbon around his neck for like ceremonial purposes. And the Sun King wore this a while, and, you know, he didn't really have too much bad luck apart from like all of his kids dying except for one, which, I mean, that is really bad luck, but it's also like normal for the time. And he had a lot of ailments like diabetes and gout and stuff like that, but again, not entirely uncommon. So something kind of like he had like a mistress that people like would call the true queen, because like she was really smart and into politics and would stay abreast of all these things. But there's like this really risque painting of her wearing the diamond. And so I'll post that on our Instagram, like with this show, because it's like actually really cool. So Louis XIV was the longest reigning French monarch. He reigned for like over 72 years. And is remembered for elevating the French monarchy to its peak of absolute power. And he made France the dominant power in Europe for the time. And his reign is also associated with French culture and art. King Louis, the Sun King, is dead. And with that, kind of like the golden age of France. Because his heir was a child when he passed, and so once he took the throne, he was kind of a douchebag, and he wasn't a very good king. Like, we're talking about, like, I think it was, like, the Seven Years' War, and he got, like, into a lot of debt. But he had the stone remade into, like, another piece of jewelry that he wore, and his son wore King Louis the 16th. And King Louis the 16th, I mean, I don't know if like you can call this part of the curse, but he lost his crown and his head, along with Marie Antoinette during the French Revolution. So I mean, that's some bad luck right there.
Let them eat cake.
She never said that. cake, but yeah. So it's not even like there. I couldn't find no confirmed reports of Marie Antoinette ever actually wearing the jewelry either. But it was definitely part of the crown jewels because after the revolution and after they were killed, they were put on display for everybody to see. Like, you know, it's kind of really a French thing to do. And then they were stolen. Like, they completely disappeared and when Napoleon came around, he was like, he swore up and down that he would recover the French jewels. But like much like his attempt at like world domination, he failed. And he was never able to find that gemstone again.
Well, he technically didn't fail. Like, I mean, I get what you're saying about the world domination piece. Like, I mean, I digress here, but he kind of conquered a lot.
He didn't become emperor of the United European States.
No, I understand. Or whatever he wanted.
Okay, so
now I do have a question. Yes. So I know that all these curses and stories and stuff. So I know part of the fable relating, you know, associated with this, with the Hope Diamond, it pretty much links to the cardinal greed, the cardinal sin of greed.
Cardinal sin?
Of greed, yes.
If the owners are like...
I mean, is that wrong? Cardinal sin of greed? Isn't that cardinal what
that means? I didn't understand what you were going. Yeah, I guess. I mean, you know, if people who are self-interested and only care about themselves or like narcissistic maybe only make bad choices and that leads to bad luck, as we'll see. Because the diamond disappeared for like 20 years after that. Like, it was not anywhere to be found until it showed up again. At least they believe it did on King George the Fourth.
So there's no historic information from like it was just hidden in a vault or something.
No, yeah, it was just like kind of kept hush hush because like they think it was stolen and then quickly scurried away across.
Hmm.
Across the, what is that little bit of water between Paris and England? The channel.
The Atlantic?
No, there's that little bit of water.
The English Channel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
body of water.
I'm not good between, with geography.
Between the U.
Or directions
France
or anything. So, yeah. So, the French Blue Diamond, as it was also called at this time, was gone. It was disappeared for like 20 years.
Wow.
Until a 45-carat blue diamond turned up in London in 1812. And this was in possession of a diamond merchant named Daniel Eliason. Of course, he, like Tavernier, didn't say where it came from, but it was speculated that this was the diamond and it had been cut down to hide its true ownership.
So it went from how big now?
So it
100?
Was it was initially 115 carats, and then it got cut down to like 60 something, and now it's down
at 45.
I'm like, I want to know where all those other little baby diamonds are. Oh, maybe it's the one that like Princess Diana has, and then now
I don't know.
Catherine, Duchess Catherine, because her diamond is blue. I wonder. Wouldn't that be crazy?
I'm not sure. I'm not.
I know. I have no idea. Like, I'm just.
I'm not too familiar
here,
in how they.
But I know
cut
her diamond
diamonds,
is blue,
so.
And it's very pretty. So anyway,
well, they're cursed. Diana died. So she's got a cursed diamond.
Well, let's hope then. Let's hope they're not wearing the same thing.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm just saying now. Now I'm going to speculation and conspiracy theory here.
If it's all like part of the whole diamond.
If it's part of the whole diamond.
Yeah. So King George the Fourth, he. There are paintings of him wearing it, and it is a very blue stone. When he died in 1830, he was like in major debt, and so that diamond was sold off to help cover some of his debts. So, and that's when the Hope family got possession of this diamond. So we're now like around 1839, and Henry Philip Hope. He was a collector of fine art and gems, and he acquired the diamond, and that's how we know of it today. That's how that's why we call it the Hope Diamond. And Henry Philip died a bachelor, and so his diamond, like that diamond, went to his nephews, and it went to his oldest nephew, who he had one daughter, and so she got it then. She had five children. Hold on. No, I'm messing up. No, all these people with the same name. So, okay. It went to his oldest nephew, Henry Thomas Hope. And he had one daughter, but when he died, the Hope Diamond stayed in the possession of his widow, not any of his children. And then it later went on to her, one of her grandchildren, Lord Francis Hope. And he inherited it in 1887. So we went from the 1600s and now we're in the 1800s. And so people like kind of know that this diamond has like this crazy history, but I think they're pretty much ignoring it. So his grandson, he lived again, like way beyond his means. But that didn't stop him from marrying an American concert hall singer. And her name was Mary Yohe. And by the time he married her, he was like completely bankrupt, but they still partied and lived a very luxurious life. Until he squandered everything that he had except for this diamond. And so one day, like, they were traveling around or whatever, and she met in 1900 a captain from America, the United States Army, and she fell in love with him, and she, like, totally left her husband.
Oh, my God.
She's like, I'm not coming back to England with you. I'm going home to America.
So she left him with the diamond.
She left him, yeah.
With the diamond.
Right, but there is, like, she says, yeah, I wear that diamond all the time, and, like, you know, whatever. Because of all his gambling and stuff like that, he wanted to sell this diamond to, like, help pay off, like, his debts.
He can't sell it. She took it with him.
No, she didn't take it. She just, she left.
She gave it to him?
She left.
So, luckily, that GI or whatever that she fell in love with.
Yeah, he got her.
He didn't die.
Not that I could find.
Well, with the curse. With the curse of the diamond.
I mean, he never touched it, so it's fine. Oh. He couldn't sell this diamond. Like, his siblings were like, hell no, you're not selling that diamond. That's part of our family history and whatever, right? And so it took, like, a lot of years and a lot of court appeals, and they finally went to, like, the House of Lords, and they gave him permission to sell it. And that is when...
So why wouldn't they sell it? The guy's broke. He's got all this debt.
But his siblings, they're like, just because you squandered your fortune doesn't mean you're going to, like, mess up this, like... They were fighting him. They wanted the diamond.
So the diamond was part of the family heirloom.
Saying? That's what I gathered. Like they wanted it because you know, like, hello.
So pretty much they wanted to keep it within the family and not try to get rid of it
it's
to
like
pay
a legitimate form of wealth
to pay this guy's debt
that he was like drinking away and partying away, traveling all around the world.
Okay.
So. And that's when, you know, that's when in 1901, that's when the diamond made its way to America. But, like, on a side note, like, you want to talk about bad luck. So, this guy Hope, he remarried in 1904. And he inherited the dukedom from, I guess, one of his brothers in 1928. But right after his wife left him, he, like, lost a foot in a hunting accident. And he died a poor man in 1941 at the age of 75. So I'm like, not that very old, and you know, his life of self-indulgence didn't quite cater to him, I guess. And his wife, who left him for the army captain, that relationship obviously didn't last long because, you know, why would it? And she worked as an actress or whatever, but she ended up becoming a housekeeper and a clerk and died in poverty in 38 at the age of 72. Yeah, so
that's
again,
sad.
Like, you know,
poor tragic,
life,
man.
Poor life decisions or bad luck because of the stupid diamond. Who knows?
Maybe I'm going to go with bad luck because of the stupid diamond.
Right.
So they touched it. They, again, the cardinal sin of greed.
Maybe you're just selfishness, right? Not caring about.
I don't know. I'm gonna go with the cardinal sins of greed and the curse of the diamond. Anyone that touches it,
bam.
Like I said earlier, what's in your heart?
Maybe.
Yeah.
So in 1901, the diamond made its way all the way across the Atlantic to the United States when an American jeweler named Simon Frankel, he bought it. And at this point, it changes hands several times, including it was owned by a Turkish sultan who, after he acquired the gem, lost his, like, he was dethroned, I guess. And then, like, this actress named Mademoiselle Lejeune, she was an actress in, like, the Follies Berger. Like, I think they were, like, the stripping kind of things back in the day.
Moulin Rouge?
No, like, Follies. Like, she was an actress. But I think it was, like, a stripping. She wore the diamond, like, her Russian, like, this Russian prince, Kanitovsky. Again, I don't pronounce names very good, but she wore it, and he gave it to her to wear, rather. And the first time she wore it on stage, she's shot while she's on stage, while she's wearing the diamond. And they think it
was... What do you mean she shot?
Like, she was shot and killed.
Oh, she was shot and
killed. Yeah, like, while she was acting on stage, wearing the diamond. First time wearing the diamond. The first time wearing the diamond, yeah. And it's believed that he killed her.
Hold on, so he shot her?
Yeah, like, I got like, different reports that it was someone in the audience, but they, like, they think it's him. So he ended up, I guess, going back to France. Or maybe this happened in France. I guess Follies, yeah, maybe. Couldn't figure that out. And then he was killed... He was stabbed in Paris during the French Revolution. So
he was stabbed. Because
he was part of the Russian, like, during the Russian Revolution, because the French Revolution already passed, right? Like, that's already passed. Now we're in the Russian Revolution in the early 1900s. And he was part of the Russian monarchy. So when they killed, I don't know. Well, no, maybe that's not the right time. No, I think I'm too soon. Yeah, I'm like 20 years, 15 years too soon.
Yeah.
I don't know. Bit.
Let me get this straight. So the guy.
I didn't get the year. So
the lady, the actress lady, she had the necklace, and she was shot on stage
wearing it.
Wearing the necklace.
Yeah. Sad, right?
Like, because
she just wanted to look pretty in diamonds. Hello, diamonds are a girl's best friend. Mm-hmm. But apparently not here.
Marilyn Monroe. Mm-hmm.
So then.
Touched the whole diamond too. She's dead.
So then after that whole thing happened with, like, the Russian dude dying and, like, getting killed.
Hold on. Did he get killed or he killed himself?
He got killed. He was murdered. He was stabbed. In France, in Paris, yeah.
Like, he was robbed or something? Or was he just, like, randomly
targeted? The way I understand it is that he was targeted because of the revolution.
Because he was part of the Russian government whatever?
He was the aristocrat. Like, so he would have been in line for to become the czar or whatever.
Well, he was part of the government. Yeah. Okay,
Anastasia and, like, you know, all them.
Yeah.
Okay, so 1910, Pierre Cartier, he bought the gem. And then he was like, oh my God, I'm going to sell this. So I'm going to, like, really play up this whole curse thing.
Well, actually. I did a little more reading on that too.
Oh, really?
So Pierre Cartier, he invested a pretty big amount of money into that.
Right. You haven't. I'm like still working on the story.
Okay. So. I mean, you're making this. Okay, cool.
He bought the gem.
As I were.
Mind your business. So he bought the gem. He bought the gem. And he wanted to sell it. And he thinks he finds the perfect buyer in this lady named Evelyn McLean. And if you live in the Northern Virginia area, you're really familiar with that name because there's, like, a town and stuff, right? And her family owned the Washington Post, and they were, like, in oil and on all kinds of stuff. So she was like, I'm not into it. Like, this is too old-fashioned. Like, it's ugly. I didn't like it. So he resets it into what it looks like today. He puts all these, like, beautiful diamonds around it. And then she's like.
Yeah. Let me tell you, if you've never seen the whole diamond in person, I know we have. We've been to the Smithsonian, and this was, like, about maybe 10 years ago the first time we saw it, and it is fascinating looking.
No, and, like, if you put, like, this, you change the light, I forget what kind of light it is, it shines red.
It changes color, yeah. It shines the red. Boron, the chemical, whatever it is.
Yeah, I have no idea. Yeah. But, yeah, so it's, like, really cool.
It's fascinating because it changes, it's supposed to be white. Depending on the light, whatever type of light that it hits it, it reflects, like, a certain color. It looks, it's a beautiful looking,
it's gorgeous
piece of, like, it's amazing. Gem.
He finally, she sees it and she's like, oh yeah, I want to buy it. But like that lady Mei Yohi, the actress that was like, she ended up, the one that left her husband for the captain, was like, don't buy this gem, like it's cursed. And even her own mother was like, or her mother-in-law was like, like this is bad juju, don't buy this. But she was like, she mocked them and she was like, oh, things that bring other people bad luck usually bring me good luck. Like, she just laughed it off and was like, whatever. So they ended up buying, her husband bought the gem, but he had said, like, should any fatality occur, like, in the contract between, you know, the two parties, within 6 months, the Hope Diamond is, it said the Hope Diamond would be returned for gems of similar value. Like, it would be exchanged. So Cartier would take it back if some bad luck befall, like if someone died in their family. But like, it was kind of crazy because they had like some legal issues with this, because like the mom didn't like really didn't want that in her family or whatever. But when Evelyn McLean got it, she wore it all the time, and she even like refused to take it off, or she would give it to like her poodle or her dog, and he would wear it. But it wasn't too long before that curse struck her too. She was not like Teflon against bad luck. And so her son, her firstborn son, died when he was only 9 years old in a car accident. And then her daughter committed suicide. There's lots of like suicides around this diamond, I found, at the age of 25. And then her husband was declared insane and he was put into an institution. But he, and before he'd done that, he left her for another woman.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, like, you know, like, that was some...
So, did he how soon did he leave her, though?
Like, maybe not too long. Maybe, like, a couple years or...
After they purchased the diamond?
Yeah. Like, you know, so, like, up until then, like... And I think it was, like, probably, like, the death of, like, their kids, maybe, and stuff like that, you know?
Yeah, it's kind of rough.
But, like, up until then, I mean, they had this, like, charmed life. They owned the Washington Post, which then they had to declare bankruptcy. They lost that, and, like... You know.
So who owned the Post? The husband or the McLean family?
The McLean family. So I'm assuming it was like, yeah.
Gotcha.
So then she had wanted her jewelry, because, you know, like that was hers, to go to her grandchildren when they were older. But her wishes were not withheld, because 2 years after her death in 1949, all of her jewelry, including the Hope Diamond, was put up for sale. To pay off debt.
Oh, so she was... Okay.
Yeah.
So, gotcha.
So that.
I think they got lucky then, because if they would have acquired that thing, her kids or whatever.
More bad luck, right?
Yeah.
So here comes along the famous American jeweler, Harry Winston. Like, if you've seen any celebrities on the red carpet, they're always like, I'm wearing Harry Winston, whatever, right? So he bought the diamond in 1949. And he had really good intentions for it, because he wanted to have America, like, have the Smithsonian have, like, a natural gem collection. And so he actually donated it to the Smithsonian in
58. Oh, wow.
Yeah. And so it's said that it traveled in a plain brown box in registered mail.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, but the postman who carried it, he had bad luck, yeah.
Like, no. No.
Yeah.
He didn't know what was in it, so how?
I know, that's the crazy thing. Like, yeah, I think he got into an accident and stuff.
What?
Yeah. So, but once it got on display, like, once it was on display again, kind of like if you think back, like, to maybe if it was on display in that Hindu temple, where it could be, like, admired and like, you know, I don't know. So anyway, once it got into the Smithsonian, it actually has done a lot of really good things for the Smithsonian. Like, it's brought a lot of foot traffic to the museum and stuff like that. So, and it's been nothing but good luck.
I bet it's because I would... They handle the diamond. No one has touched it.
They're all wearing gloves.
And it's behind a glass case.
Behind a glass case.
So
yeah.
No one has been able to touch the diamond. So it's kind of like the diamond's itching for its next victim. So whoever touches that
diamond. Oh, it ain't gonna be me. I wouldn't chance it. I would not put that thing on for anything. So, yeah. So, no, it did not cause the sinking of the Titanic, but it sure as hell sunk a lot of lives in its day.
And actually, I'm glad that you bring that up again. So, related to the beginning when I digress about the scenario that with the Titanic. So, what I was trying to say earlier was that the guy, I mean, this has nothing to do with the Hope Diamond itself, but a lot of folks reference the Hope Diamond to the Titanic because of the movie, you know, the Titanic.
But which I think that diamond in the movie was called like the Heart of the Sea, but it looked so much like it.
The thing is that the Hope Diamond was not on the Titanic.
No, it was nowhere near it.
Nowhere near it.
It was in America. Ms.
Evelyn McLean, who owned it, she never set sail on the Titanic at all. And when she died in around 1947, like you said, it was pretty much sold to pay off her debts. To pay off all her debts, pretty much the majority of her debts. But what I was saying earlier was that one of the guys that was on there, one of the second mates in command or whatever they call them, when he was removed from the ship, according to the story, the Mr. Ballin YouTube video, he had the keys. Like when he had to get off the boat right away immediately. He had to carry all his bags and all his goods, and then he notices like the next day or so that he had the keys to the binocular rooms. So the ship set sail without the binoculars on the Titanic. So they couldn't see. The watch couldn't see what they were about to hit.
Wow. That poor guy. Like, can you imagine? I can't imagine.
So now that I think about that, you know, I feel like I have to do a little bit more digging about that, like, you know, a little weird mystery. I mean, it was really short and simple and to the point. I like the way that he expressed it and the way he talked about it. But when you think about it, like, this, the story behind something that could have been adverted, right?
Well, I mean, okay, so, like, an iceberg. So. It's kind of a big thing. Like, you know, I don't know.
It is. But I mean, I don't want to continue and digress from your story. But I just want to make sure because, you know, we brought up the Titanic and we brought up bad luck and things being on the ship. So that right there, just that alone, I mean it was kind of sad when I learned that. Now, I'm not saying that this is the reason why the Titanic sunk. But the guy, the second mate, he felt that if he had left the keys,
they would have been, I mean, they could have
averted this,
broken the lock and got in
scenario or whatever, right. But you're right, they could have broken the lock, gotten into the whatever binocular room. But again, back then, those locksmiths, they did not play the way that they built things.
Yeah, that's
it was really
true.
Solid. It's not like, hey, let's go ahead and get a blowtorch and cut through this lock. So
that was fun. You know what? We didn't do the last show. We didn't say what we were drinking. Do you want to have a drink for this one? I feel like because it's...
Well, for this show, I'm drinking cranberry vodka.
But I feel like this one, you need like a blue Long Island iced tea or something.
Nothing blue. Nothing blue. Nothing related to that Hope Diamond. Nothing blue. I don't want nothing that's going to curse me.
You don't want no gin.
No, gin and tonic.
Anything or like British drinks.
Anything that brings me home. Opposite of it. Opposite of it.
Alrighty. Well,
I'll go with a vodka, Russian vodka or something. I don't know. Something far away from the diamond.
Right. So that ends my story of this maybe cursed, maybe not diamond. What do you think? Do you think it's cursed?
I believe in things like that. So I believe it is cursed. One, because if it is true that it was stolen from a temple.
That's bad juju.
Yeah. And normally that comes along with it. The sad thing is that this thing continues to be, I mean, from that time until now, I mean, it's kind of like in a centralized location. I believe for this juju to be broken, my personal opinion, this diamond needs to be returned back to India.
Right, but we don't know if it was stolen or not. Like, that's if it was legally purchased.
No, it was not legally purchased.
We don't know that. We don't know that because the guy, well, Tavernier,
the only thing that we know is, yeah, Tavernier bought it and then he got tore apart by wild dogs.
No, he didn't. He died in his 80s on a resort.
I don't think so. Yeah. Tavernier died. Like, he got tore apart.
He died an old man. That was in a book that I said, but he did not actually, you know, die.
Well, all I know is this. All I know,
there's lots of mystery around this.
There is lots of mystery. I mean, you're right. That's from the story that I read it to, saying they died from wild dogs. But what I'm saying is, back then, a lot of treasures from foreign
were still, like Egypt, were alone. Taken. Yeah, absolutely.
And they were, and they were, you know, they were, you know, the how can I put it, the British Empire or whatever, will go across the globe and they would just go ahead and collect all kinds of treasures and stuff and bring it back to London and have it in the museums and stuff.
I think at this point it's been 400 years and like it's been passed through, like it's
400 years. So you think that? So you think it's okay that the curse has been wiped?
No, what I'm saying is,
it matters. You know, so how long it's been? It's curse. It's curse.
It's on display. No one's owning it now. Like, it belongs to
To us. It shouldn't belong to the Smithsonian. It should go back to India.
I disagree.
I mean, I don't know if the temple even still exists or not. But
no, like,
you don't know that.
Like, I don't know. I don't even know what temple he like. If it had gotten stolen by a priest in some Hindu temple, and in like, how would you know? Like, where would you even know? Like,
well,
you know?
The story started with that's where it came from. That the jewel.
It's believed that it could have been stolen, but like again, that we don't know if Cartier made all this up just to propagate the sale of this thing.
He didn't make all this up.
That's what I read. Yes, like that. A lot of people say that Cartier made this all up.
Well, maybe. So, I guess. If he did, it's a hell of a story. But last time I recall, prior to Cartier acquiring this, people were
getting decapitated, beheaded, people were getting killing shot. Themselves. So, like, yeah, there was a lot of bad luck around
I
it.
I don't know
like,
about that.
Yeah. But tell us in the comments on Instagram.
Yes, please let us know what you think about this.
Violet Hour Podcast. All right.
It's been fun.
Till next time.
Good night.